The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening. It's the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert of your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. To reach us on the email, it's udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Got a phone? Use it, 877-711-5211. Coming up at 20 after the hour in this hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist, the latest information on arsenic and chicken. Air pollution linked to a diabetes risk. Find out where. And there's a nitrate alert about the drinking water in the Midwest. That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour.
And he's going to tell us what we should know to protect ourselves. How do we know that we don't have that nitrate in it? How do we know on some of the other things? What do we do about the arsenic in chicken? Do we just not have it? What do we do about it?
We're going to find out. He's going to tell us what to do about it at 20 after the hour, so then we'll all know. And then there's Straight Talk from the Docs at 35 past the hour in this hour with Dr. Arthur Perry. Do you have a game plan today?
We do. We're going to talk about sunblocks and the fact that some of them are toxic and some are very safe. Which should you have? Then we're also going to talk about cosmetic surgery in dogs. Obi got a tummy tuck. Is that totally outrageous?
Yes. And you need Dr. Perry to talk about that?
Well, you and I can do that, but we ought to have an expert talk about it.
I guess, yeah.
And the third one is there's a new filler got approved by the FDA. Should you ask your doctor about it, or is this just more high-priced stuff that you can get a lower-priced version of that works just as well? So Arthur's going to give us his take on this new filler.
All right, sounds good. Straight Talk from the Docs. 35 past the hour. Lab-made bone replacements are moving closer. Mike, what do you know about that?
Well, this is really interesting. This is from skin stem cells. And the reason I put this in is there are two important studies. One is this one, and one is a new trachea. So cartilage, a new trachea in a two-year-old girl who had a tumor. They made a new trachea, and she's doing great with it. And so this one was a experiment to look at bones. Can you grow bones without them turning into cancer? That is, can you redo stem cells? And obviously part of the problem is if you don't control the growth, the bone might grow too big. How do you regulate the size of the bone? How do you make sure it's the right bone? How do you make sure it doesn't develop cancer? Well, we're getting really close on all of these. So my guess is within 3 years, we're going to see regular replacement of every cartilage in a structure such as your ears, your external ears. You know, if some guy, some boxer happens to bite ears off, you'll be able to get a replacement that'll look just as good or better. We'll be able to replace bones with your own bones. And we'll be able to replace, the anterior cruciate ligament and cartilage on your kneecap and hip. I don't know that we'll get the cartilage that's on the surface that prevents you needing a hip replacement or a knee replacement, but maybe, just maybe, we'll get that in the 3 to 5 year period.
Now, for the replacement ear, hearing wouldn't be affected?
Well, this is the external ear, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
no, hearing wouldn't be affected. It might be able to make it better.
Mm. Okay. Not too far away, 3 years or so. That's pretty interesting. Long-term risk of antidepressants. What are the long-term risks on these things?
Well, this is really interesting. You know, when the FDA approves a drug, it does it with usually studies at most over 6 month time frame. That is, it's really hard to insist on a company testing something for 12 years before it gets approved. So it's a 6 month and looking for how good is the data and does it show any toxicity. But if people take them for 12 or 20 or 40 years in this case, some people have been on antidepressants now that have been on the market for 40 years. And the question is, how do we study side effects? And one of the ways we're going to is what they call big data. So everyone at the Cleveland Clinic who's on a drug and who agrees to it gets followed forever, and then they will essentially be able to correlate whether some of the long-term drugs and what conditions, what predispositions might lead to some side effects. Now, with antidepressants, remember, there's a sizable increased risk of suicide in people who are depressed, someplace between 2 and 12%. So if you're on an antidepressant, don't worry about the side effects unless you have one. And if you do have one, and usually they're weight gain and sexual side effects, meaning lack of sexual satisfaction from some of them, you can get different drugs that increase sexual satisfaction. So talk to your physician about it. But at least in this case, don't stop suddenly and not get, if you will, professional advice, because that could increase your risk of suicide. So there's a basic rule: never stop a drug without talking to your physician. Part of that is because there are often rebound effects where they go higher. So for example, if you've been taking a statin drug and you stop statins, all of a sudden you'll increase your risk of a heart attack. It won't just stay where it was beforehand. It'll be a rebound increase. So you've got to taper off of that drug.
Is that for everybody? Everybody who takes a statin, everybody who just stops it, abruptly will have that risk?
Yes.
Huh? Okay. What is the pressure on the medical community when prescribing antidepressants for people? There must be a lot of pressure to make sure that things go right.
Say it again.
I'm just saying, when doctors prescribe antidepressants, right?
Right.
There's got to be a lot of pressure on doctors to make sure that, you know, side effects, when you mention there's a possibility of somebody commit suicide, there's a lot of pressure on doctors prescribing these things to prevent those kind of things from happening. They're absolutely sure, right, that no real major repercussions can occur when they prescribe antidepressants.
Well, you know, the risk and benefit ratio is what we take into account. So, for example, let me just do one that's easy on top of mind on vaccinations. When you say, when you recommend a childhood vaccination regimen or a vaccination for an adult to get flu vaccine, you want to make sure that the benefits are going to outweigh the risks. In the case of the flu vaccine or children vaccinations, they aren't absolutely safe. There are side effects, but the benefits are 40,000 times greater. That is, the chance of having a serious event or dying with the set of childhood vaccines is 1/40,000th than the chance of having a serious side effect or dying from one of the diseases that they prevent.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, so that's why it isn't that something is absolutely safe. We don't have any drugs. We don't have anything that's absolutely safe. I mean, even if you eat melon, right, you could get a food contamination, and you could get serious food, if you will, borne illness. So nothing is absolutely safe that we do, but the risks, the benefit have to outweigh the risks.
Okay. I think before we go to Dr. Ginsberg, we can fit one more topic in before the break. And how about treating eye allergy symptoms? How would you do that?
Well, this is interesting. The key is preventing yourself from getting the pollen or whatever is causing the allergy in your eye, if you will, beforehand. And if you can't do that, and obviously some of us can't do that, meaning you've got to go outside and you'll get things get blown in your face. So, and it's very common, between 1/3 and 1/4 of all the U.S. population has it. So what you want to do is wash your eyes out, don't rub them, and if you will, try and wear protective goggles or glasses. And if there's a high pollen day, try and avoid going out in that. And one of the crazy things is I often see people with eye allergies have the windows open on their car. No, use air conditioning. Use a filter in your air conditioning. Change the filter. Make sure they change the filter on the air conditioning in your car. And then before the season starts, or right now, and then when you go out, close the windows.
Yep. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
What's toxic? What's not? Dr. Gary Ginsberg every week at this time here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Dr. Mike, what do you like in this list of topics from Dr. Ginsberg today?
Well, let's go to arsenic. I worry about that. You know, someone's trying to poison me all the time.
Yeah, I know what you mean, guys. And arsenic is that historic poison that might have done in Napoleon and some other greats in history. And at lower doses, it could slowly destroy your mitochondria and lead to basically your liver, your cardiovascular system getting damaged. But it's important to find out where arsenic is and where arsenic is not in your food and in your water, in your environment. And we have talked about arsenic in rice in the past, and that is a probably the number one major exposure source for most people in their diet, you know, unless they're, you know, have some hobby that involves arsenic. But chicken has, because chicken is treated, the chickens are treated with an arsenical-based pesticide called Roxarsone, and that's to get rid of parasites so that the chickens can live more closely together. So, that, you know, not the free-range chickens now, but the industrial farms chickens. They give them this arsenical-based pesticide, and that could lead to substantial levels of an organic form of arsenic in the chicken. And that's been controversial over the last 5 to 10 years. Well, it's been phased out largely by a number of the major, like Purdue and the major companies. And so this study that just came out in Environmental Health Perspectives by Johns Hopkins University, they did a U.S. market basket survey, and the latest data show that the arsenic levels have come pretty far down, and they're lower now than, they're well below what's in rice. And, you know, I don't think that people should worry about arsenic in chicken the way at one point we were worried about it. These levels are pretty minimal. I mean, I would rather have people focus on doing the right thing with rice, diversifying. If you really like rice, well, diversify and eat some quinoa, eat some pasta from time to time. Don't just focus on a rice diet. Even, you know, and brown rice is better than white rice in a lot of ways. Brown rice is higher in arsenic.
It is.
So those are the sources that I think are more important right now. And it could be that if you're on a private well, you could have a lot of arsenic in your drinking water. We see that in Connecticut. And so you need to test your groundwater for that. Fortunately, there used to be arsenic in pressure-treated wood that was going into building playscapes and decks. Since 2005, that's gone. So little by little, now the chicken levels have come down. Little by little, the levels of arsenic, we are tightening down on those. There used to be arsenical pesticides. Do you know that your average ant bait station used to have arsenical-based pesticide in that? That's gone now. So little by little, we're getting rid of the sources of arsenic.
Okay. Story number two, I'd probably go to the possible link between air pollution and diabetes. Where's this going on, and what's it all about?
Yeah. You know, we normally think of, and this is in 10-year-old kids in Germany. So normally we think of type 2 non-insulin-dependent diabetes as being a disease of middle to older age, people who have what we call metabolic disorder, slow metabolism, obese. And now you could start seeing it show up now in young kids, and it's being associated with air pollution. So the more fine particulate matter, the more stress that the body is under from having to fend off toxins in the air as they're in the streets and playing, or as they're sitting at home and not playing, the more that the body starts turning off its insulin receptors. So insulin is less effective at doing its job, and you end up with higher blood sugar, and that eventually is toxic to the kidney and eventually leads to this full-blown type 2 diabetes, maybe when you're 30 or 40. So growing up and living chronically near a lot of air pollution, we think of that as being bad for kids' lungs. And that is true, you know, more asthma. But here's another reason to try to not have your kids go to school right by a really busy highway or a thoroughfare, and also to not live, you know, the general rule of thumb is about a quarter to eighth of a mile away, because that particulate matter can stay in the air and drift into your backyard or into the schoolyard.
I think we can get to all three. Sometimes we miss on all the stories you sent along to us, but I think if we can get to the drinking water, nitrate alert.
So far, So far, we've had one of what's toxic and one of what's
yes.
not toxic.
So this one breaks the tie, one way or the other, the drinking water in the Midwest and a nitrate alert. Fill us in.
Yeah, and it's not just the Midwest. It's any agricultural area. You see, nitrate is, of course, a major source of nitrogen fertilizer that's used in farming communities. And why would nitrate levels be high now, this time of the year, in a place like Iowa, which is right now where the nitrate alert is happening? And that's because last year they put so much nitrate on the soil in the Midwest, and the corn crop didn't do particularly well. I think there was a drought in the Midwest. Corn didn't grow, so it didn't suck up all that nitrate, so it's still sitting in the soil. And now with all the spring rains, it's getting washed into the rivers out in the Midwest, and people drink that water out in the Midwest, the rivers. And so, you know, high nitrate is very toxic to babies. And there have been studies done in areas where nitrate is high, that there's higher rates of SIDS, which is sudden infant death, higher rates of childhood cancers. And so you really want to, and I know the authorities in Iowa are doing everything they can to bring the levels of nitrate down, and they will deliver safe drinking water. So it's not that people shouldn't drink water out in Iowa, but it's a sign that living near farms can get nitrate runoff into local water supplies. And if you've got a private well and you're living out in the country, which is usually where the private wells are, and there's farms around you, you really want to make sure you're testing your groundwater once a year for nitrate levels. And actually, this might be a good time of year to do that because of all the rain washing the residual nitrate down into the water table.
All right. Dr. G, we got them all in, my friend. Nice job here this week. We'll talk again. We talk again next week. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not? And whatstoxic.com is his website to go to Dr. G's website. Got about a minute. You wanted to fill us in on, we're talking about LeBron James and his consecutive made field goals in a playoff game against the Pistons, right, Mike?
I think it was May 31st, 2007, he scored 25 points in a row. For Cleveland, and Cleveland won in double overtime, meaning Detroit interrupted his scoring with some scoring of their own. But on the Cavalier team, he scored 48 in a row as the Cavaliers won in double overtime. And I got to tell you, I was there, and literally any shot he took seemed to find the basket and go in.
In one quarter?
I think he scored between the two overtimes and the end of the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 5 minutes to the end of the quarter and the two overtimes. And he outscored the other team totally like 26-14.
Oh, man. Well, he is the best modern-day all-time, right? I would think, right?
He still is regarded that.
And you miss him, right?
Absolutely. He's welcome back in my Cleveland. I look forward to watching him on the court someday.
All right. We're going to go to Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry. Topics for this week are all very interesting. You want to stay with us for that. And then a Real Age Tip of the Week, I think, before this hour, coming up before the end of the hour. If you miss a segment, RadioMD.com. If you want to talk to our experts, our guests, Dr. Mike, 877-711-5211. Of course, email is very popular. udocs@gmail.com. Youdocs at gmail.com. Thanks for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Yeah. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Arthur, did you know that 13% of us over the age of 60 now believe we have memory loss? 13%, that's pretty high when you consider that we're probably, 30 million of us in the U.S., maybe more.
You know, could you repeat that? I forgot what you just said, Mike.
And the baby boomers are growing every year. I mean, I wonder how many people are over the age of 60 now in the U.S. How many do you think?
Over the age of 60? It's hard to get a laugh out of you, by the way. Over the age of 60, I would say there are about 50 million people, 40 million people.
I don't know, but, you know, with the baby boomers, I guess it is in the U.S., it was, it's tough to find that out, but they say it is, what do they say? They say age 65, it was 40.3 million people in 2009, so it's higher than that now. But they say, actually, it's 52, believe it or not, it looks like it can't be that many. They say it is 58 million people now.
I'm pretty close. Pretty close.
What'd you guess?
Give or take a few 10 million.
Now, tell me about this. What sunblocks can I wear and which can't I wear? You did this on the Dr. Oz show, but now you can do it for real and without undue influence.
Without undue influence. It was a very balanced show this week. If you, hopefully everybody saw the show. So I went on to talk about the dangers of chemical sunscreens. We've talked about this many times on this show. We scooped that show. But, you know, the more I read, Mike, the worse it got. The more I read the toxicology literature and the endocrinology literature, the more astounded I was that the FDA still allows these chemical drugs, chemical sunscreens, which are drugs, to be on the market. So, Mike, just for a primer for the listeners, because it's mid-May, it's time to start wearing sunscreen. There are 17 sunscreens that are approved by the FDA. Two of those are real simple, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. 15 of those are chemicals that only you and I and a few chemists can pronounce. So I won't even try to pronounce those, except for the fact that some people out there know what PABA is and benzophenone, because those are kind of the worst of the bunch of chemical sunscreens. But here's how they work. So physical sunscreens block sun. They block ultraviolet light. Just like if you stand in front of your face, you're not going to get sun or ultraviolet light on your face. So that's pretty easy to understand. But the chemical sun act very differently. They get absorbed into your body, and they absorb.
So
they
even though I put them on, even though I put them on my skin, they get absorbed into my body?
That's correct. And on the show, the person who was opposite me did say that only a small amount is absorbed. That's actually incorrect. 100% of the sunscreen ingredient is absorbed. Where does it go? If it's not on your skin, it doesn't evaporate. It's in your body. And in fact, in order for these sunscreens to work, they need to get into your body. When they get into your body, within minutes, they're detectable in your bloodstream. And for 48 hours, they're detectable in your bloodstream. And when they go into your bloodstream through your skin, they bypass your liver. We mentioned that last week. So they don't go to your liver and get detoxified. They go around your body to every organ in the body, your brain, your breasts, your ovaries, everywhere. They get deposited into tissues, and then they get excreted over the next 2 days. If they were harmless, I wouldn't be talking about this. Just because they get absorbed doesn't mean anything. But 9 out of the 15, Mike, 9 out of the 15 are called endocrine disruptors.
What in
a very
in
fancy
now,
word?
Go ahead. Endocrine disruptor means they disrupt your production of endocrine hormones, that is, hormones in your body, such as estrogen and testosterone. Do they affect those?
Yes, they affect testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, thyroid hormone, and probably others. Those are the ones that are commonly studied. There's a lot of other hormones that have probably more subtle, they have more subtle influences on those. So what does that mean now? As an endocrine disruptor, yes, it can act like estrogen in your body, or it can attach the estrogen receptor. There's a lot of different effects, and I don't want to bore people with this, but the bottom line is there are known effects of the estrogen disruptors and other endocrine disruptors, and one of those is low birth weight children. So if you're exposed to these endocrine disruptors during pregnancy, more likely your child will have a lower birth rate. Development of the reproductive system in both girls and boys is also affected by these, and that results in some funny abnormalities like undescended testicles in boys, small testicles, low sperm count in boys, premature puberty in both boys and girls. We wonder, you know, why are girls reaching puberty at age 10 now? And 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it was more like 12 or 13. This is a huge change in humans, and it's not happening by accident. We're bathing ourselves in these chemicals that can actually influence our puberty. So as if that's not bad enough, Mike, there's a lot of good evidence that these endocrine disruptors, particularly the ones that act like estrogens, can cause breast cancer. Now, I have to underscore that this has not been proven in humans. but it has been shown in other animals. And the one that's the worst probably is called benzophenone. That has been shown to cause cancer in animals. Now, why hasn't it been shown in humans? Well, you know as well as I, if we eat arsenic, we get sick that day. If we eat lead, we get sick in a few months, years, or maybe a decade, depending on our exposure. But if we eat or put endocrine disruptors on our skin, we don't get sick this year. We get sick a decade from now. And toxins, you know, Gary Ginsberg can talk a lot better about this than me, but toxins like this take so long to have their effect that they become very difficult to study. But the evidence is mounting, just like with BPA that we've talked about before on the show. It's an endocrine disruptor, and finally the FDA is beginning to move on that one. The endocrine disruptors in skin in sunscreens are real there, and I personally would stay away from chemical sunscreens. Zinc oxide, titanium dioxide sit on the surface of the skin. They reflect light. They're harmless as long as they're not in the nano form. That means they're in the micronized form. And they reflect light and they do what they're supposed to do. So I'll get off my soapbox now, Mike, but it's become like a religion to me.
Gotcha. So basically, I should use zinc oxide, put it on thick enough. Now, in the form that you're saying, the micronized, not nanoparticle, but
yeah.
micron particle, so micronized. Does it show white and that greasy look, et cetera?
Well, it should not. So the story of zinc oxide is also pretty interesting. It started in the 1920s. I didn't realize that, Mike, and I started reading about this. They were putting zinc oxide paste on particularly people in the military in the 1920s. It didn't look good. So they started developing the chemical sunscreens in the 1930s. The first one that came on the market was PABA, and that was in copper tone in, I believe, 1944. And it was in response to World War II. People were getting sunburned badly out in the open. We've come a long way from that. The sunscreens now with zinc oxide are now invisible. They cost a little more than those pasty ones, though. So that's what I recommend.
Now, let's go and talk about Obi, the dog that got a tummy tuck.
Now, Mike, that is a great teaser, but I know we're about to take a break, and this is a great story that you really want to hear.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Obi, and if we get a chance for the tip of the week, the cancer-fighting foods. Start with spices. We'll be right back. You, the owner's manual. You can email us, udocs@gmail.com. Call us, 877-711-5611. We love to hear from you. Or 877-711-5211. We'll be right back.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur, what's this about a dog having a tummy tuck?
I want to promote cosmetic surgery.
Huh?
This is a famous dog, Mike. It's called Obi.
Who's
the dachshund.
Who's Obi? Who's Obi?
He's a dog in Portland, Oregon. And this dog is half dog, half pig, because what he did, he reached 77 pounds. Now those of you who have these little tiny dachshunds, they're like these hot dog dogs. They should weigh maybe 20 pounds. Ideal weight, I guess, if you want to really put him up against other dogs. He was a big frame dog, so you could say Obi should have weighed 28 pounds. But he weighed 77. They didn't do a lap band on Obi like they're going to do, like they did with Chris Christie. But Obi did lose weight. They put him on a strict diet. And there's this, you can't imagine on the internet the following of this dog. There's like 100,000 fans for this dog on this Facebook page. He lost all this weight, but then he had all this skin hanging there, and he was tripping over it, literally, just like my patients that have lost 100 or 150 pounds. So if Obi weighed 77 pounds and lost 40 pounds, that's like a 200-pound man who was 400 pounds. So you get hanging skin and stretch marks. So Obi had a tummy tuck, and it's a very famous tummy tuck. Maybe the most famous one in the country, Mike, because all these people are cheering Obi on. He's done very well with his tummy tuck, and I fully support cosmetic surgery in dogs. So go get him, Obi.
Well, wait a second. This wasn't for a medical benefit the way Chris Christie had his, so that he could see his grandkids.
Well, no, it's not the same. But the problem with excess skin, both in humans and in dogs, being all in all seriousness, there are issues of chafing and rashes, and it's not so funny. It's not just, well, there's extra skin and you look funny. But let's switch to humans because it's the same thing with dogs and humans here, and let's talk about humans since the veterinary hour is over. What happens right around this time of year, all those skin folds begin to rub against each other. And we get rashes. We get a little breakdown of the epidermis. And the most common thing in this very moist, very warm environment is, you guessed it, yeast. So yeast rashes are very common, and they're common both in animals, maybe even more common, and in humans. So I tell my patients, and by the way, if any of you out there have had a massive weight loss and are not going to have cosmetic surgery, this is the time of year to start using cornstarch. And you put it on all over your body after your shower in the morning, anywhere where the skin will rub against itself. And you may well be able to eliminate the rashes this summer. If you do get a rash, what I advise, you need to see your family doctor and get a prescription for nystatin powder. Nystatin powder is one of the very few drugs which has no side effects. In fact, even allergies are exceedingly rare with nystatin.
But I thought nystatin an antibiotic? It just doesn't get absorbed, eh?
It's an antifungal. It's an antifungal, and it doesn't, even if it got absorbed, there are no, when we eat it orally, if you look it up, I've looked this drug up, there's just almost nothing that happens with nystatin bad. It doesn't immunosuppress, doesn't do anything bad. So it's a drug that can be used fairly with impunity, and certainly in the powder form, it will prevent the yeast rashes. So a lot of people get those under their arms, even if you've been overweight. Diabetics get these all the time. So nystatin powder under the arms, in the groin creases, and under what's called the pannus. That's what Obi the dog had. He had this big pannus, which is all this extra skin that hung down. And at least in Obi, it did not macerate. That's the word that we use to describe skin that gets very moist and begins to break down, and we get rashes and yeast rashes, or even wounds, or even cellulitis, which is an infection. But it all starts with that maceration. So cornstarch first. If you do get the rash, nystatin powder. And you put it on a couple times a day, and that should clear it up. So, Mike, go to OB's website. It's really very interesting.
Arthur, when we come back next week, I will have looked at its OB website. WWW, is it OB.com?
Well, actually, it's on the he's got a Facebook page, not a website. I misspoke, and it is I'll get it for you here. Let's see. I'm looking right at it. It is what does it say? It's Biggest Loser, Biggest Loser Doxy Edition. That's what it is. So you go to Facebook, Biggest Loser Doxy Edition.
Let's go and talk about the real age tip of the week, Arthur. And this week's tip of the week is a wonderful one. Cancer-fighting foods start with spices. Here's one of the easiest ways to protect you and your cells from cancer. Make like Martha Stewart and reorganize your spice cabinet. Not alphabetically, we say easy. Just put these seasonings in the front row. Pepper, oregano, rosemary, turmeric, cinnamon, ginger, and garlic. You know, I use all of those regularly. While you're at it, put the salt way in back. Those magnificent seven, pepper, oregano, rosemary, turmeric, cinnamon, ginger, and garlic. You have to be our ages to understand that reference on Magnificent Seven. Are on a list of at least 41 spices believed to deter various kinds of cancer. Since you probably have these promising tumor zappers in your kitchen like I do in mine, if they're front and center, you'll likely start using them. The goal? Haha, that's the goal. South African countries, which use far more spices than we do, also have more and much lower cancer rates. Coincidence? We think not. Spices, like all plant-based foods, are the easiest ways to fight cancer. A fiesta of lab studies is working to pin down the spicy substances that have it in for cancer cells. But don't wait. Add a little spice to your life now, the Magnificent Seven, and you'll add more birthdays too. Pepper's hot stuff because it contains pungent piperine, which goes into search and destroy mode when brain cells are trying to turn cancerous, is a great example. And we're big fans of turmeric. That's that yellow mustard and curry because it's full of curcumin. I think I pronounced that right, curcumin. In labs, curcumin has a stellar track record for shutting down pancreatic cancer cells and turning off colon cancer cells. And that's why I walk around with a mustard pack in my pocket. I squirt it onto salads or sandwiches to get my daily dose. It's also good for preventing memory dysfunction because it activates your ApoE gene. Well, it's been a great show today. Thanks to Sonar for wonderful engineering, Arthur Perry, Gary Ginsberg, and Dr. Smith from Columbus, the Children's Hospital there, the Injury Prevention Center, for being wonderful guests. And especially thanks to our listeners for the questions you sent in. Remember, you can always send us questions, udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, or call us on the phone. We'll give that number out next week. We'll be back next week with a brand new show and a magnificent guest. That's all I'm going to tell you. Thanks again.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.